I won't say too much, just welcome speakers. We're very happy that you're all here. And they would like to tell you a little bit more about themselves, but welcome to the session. Thank you very much for being here. As always, you know the drill, please, please fill out the little surveys afterwards, because that's how we plan next year's program and make sure that it gets bigger and better every year. So for right now, we have three wonderful speakers here. And the first is Daniel Schwartz. Many of you have probably met him already. Daniel is the director for the Americas on Global Travel Tourism Development Team for San Francisco Travel. Then we have Loanne Halden. She is the vice president for communications at the International LGBTQ Plus Travel Association, the IGLTA. I'm so sorry. Ooh, I knew I would break my tongue on that. And Rachel Cavallo, also here, and she is the founder of LGBT Equality Alliance and the publisher for Outcoast, a digital magazine and travel blog marketing Florida as LGBTQ inclusive destination to visit, celebrate, and live. So please take it away. We're very excited you're here.
Thanks. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Again, sorry for the weather in this room. I think lunch is back outside, hopefully, so we can all warm up after that. So, yeah, very excited to be here. I'll start with introducing myself and then turn it over for introductions from Loanne and Rachel. I work for San Francisco Travel. I'm the director of tourism development there, looking over the Americas, currently looking over U.S., Canada, Mexico, South America, and we have offices in Brazil, Argentina, and Canada at the moment. I am a, what people like to call a straight ally for the LGBTQ plus community, and have been very involved lately in a number of different campaigns and marketing efforts that San Francisco Travel is doing to ensure that we stay one of the most appealing destinations for LGBTQ plus travelers around the world. And I live in what my president CEO likes to call the gayest city in the world.
Go ahead. Well, I live in Fort Lauderdale, which is pretty darn gay, I have to say. I'm vice president of communications for IGLTA. We have been around since 1983. You can see a little bit more about us there. But we're an organization that connects buyers and suppliers globally. We have members in about 80 countries, and they're all committed to providing LGBTQ plus welcoming experiences to travelers. We started in a very traditional B2B association format, and particularly in the last 5 years, we're doing more and more B2C outreach through our membership. And I'll talk a little bit about that as a resource later. Oh, and I'm a lesbian.
Woo. Are you? My name is newly engaged.
Congrats.
My name is Rachel Cavallo. I own Outcoast.com, Gay Florida Travel. I used to live in Pennsylvania, and I started an LGBT nonprofit called the LGBT Equality Alliance, and then moved more into the marketing space, the marketing media space. I live right here in usually warm, sunny St. Petersburg, Florida, which is the gayest place in the country to be. We definitely rival Fort Lauderdale in that space, and we have the biggest Pride celebration on this side of the coast, although Pride of Americas is coming to Fort Lauderdale this year, later this year. Is there anything else I needed to...
No,
we're good?
No, I think... So I think hopefully...
Oh, and I'm, yeah. I identify as bisexual, although I'm married to a very sexy woman.
So I think hopefully when you leave today, you'll feel like you have kind of your work cut out and understand both why this market is really important for growing your business and some tips how to, and have some really strong takeaways of some organizations that you can partner with, some great ways to create content, what really good content looks like, and just understand the size and scope of this this market overall. So to begin with, I'm going to pull up a slide on from Loanne just that talks a little bit about, just kind of helps illustrate the value of the LGBTQ plus market as a whole to kind of set the stage for us. Do you want to maybe dive into this figure a little bit?
Sure. So this actually came from LGBT Capital, and you can see more of their reports. Their website is there at the bottom. And they look specifically here at international inbound tourism. And they look at a lot of different countries, the United States being one of them. So that's the figure that they're quoting as the estimated GDP share for inbound to US only, $24.5 billion. The larger number at the top, that is US $3.6 trillion globally, that's the overall value of the LGBTQ plus spend. And again, these numbers are obviously estimations, but they're basing the data off of population sizes and surveys and overall tourism numbers.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge market, obviously, and a huge opportunity that I think not everyone has tapped into. I think, Rachel, you were bringing up the point earlier, kind of listening yesterday. Rachel was able to attend some of the sessions yesterday, and there was a lot of talk about the coronavirus, and you kind of had a reaction to that.
Yeah, when we think about something as big as the coronavirus and how it can globally affect travel from China, a lot of the questions that came up in the last 2 days is how do we supplement some of that travel income or travel revenue coming to the States? This is a great market. If you're not already diversifying your market, not just in the different cultures that you're marketing to, but the different types of people within those cultures you're marketing to, think about that in your diversification efforts, because there's a lot of money here. LGBT community tends to be high income. Two dinks, the typical dink, double income, no kid community, although that is changing, we'll get into that a little bit later. But it's a great way to try to diversify some of that marketing. And if you need travelers right now to fill some of that void, even pulling some of those domestic travelers in and marketing to that community here right in the States to fill some of those room nights that you might have gotten from China is a good way to look at that.
I think so, for sure. I mean, obviously, China is huge for a lot of destinations, but I think it is something that we'll continue to focus on more. I think at SF Travel, we are continuing to kind of see our marketing to the LGBTQ plus community change. So I just wanted to spend a couple minutes talking about sort of the evolution of LGBTQ plus marketing, how things have changed. I know that it kind of anecdotally, it's really moved just beyond marketing to the gay men, to older demographics. It's not just about, you know, one single identity within that community. It's really more about overall diversity. I'll show a video in a second that SF Travel's done, but I wanted to see if you guys had any input on just kind of how things have evolved and how destinations and suppliers can kind of orient themselves if they're going to start looking at marketing to this community now.
Well, I think that overall travel marketing has become just much more inclusive in general. There's been so much more emphasis on diversity all the way around and being more inclusive. So where we used to see so much more, and this has been a global trend, direct advertising, you know, to the gay community, which was really just shirtless, muscular gay men, We're seeing not only the larger spectrum of LGBTQ plus in marketing, but also merged into the broader marketing that you're doing for your destinations. So I would much rather be watching a video or seeing an advertisement and realize, oh, you know, there's a lesbian couple there in the mix with everyone else. I don't need to have a specific lesbian advertisement directed to me, although those are.
and as noted too, the family aspect. I mean, our back in the day, I mean, my wife is significantly older. So my wife's about 17 years older, and her generation being out as a lesbian was hard enough. To have kids at that age was not even an option in her mind. Whereas nowadays, you're seeing couples that are having kids. So that's changing, where it used to be a much higher, I have some statistics I'm not sharing today, but about how high the percentage is of double income, no kids. Well, that number's actually getting lower now because you're having a lot more families traveling. So making sure that ads aren't only the naked gay men that we're marketing to, but just a family experience, and making sure that that family experience is inclusive of LGBT couples and kids and trans kids and everything.
So I'll play this video real quick. Just ignore the brand at the end. It hasn't been updated with our new brand. Please don't tell my marketing.
Don't tell Joe.
do not tell Joe. It's a quick, short video that we produced a couple of years ago.
We're all different. We have different backgrounds. We like to do different things. And we come from different places. San Francisco doesn't just welcome our differences. We encourage them. We celebrate them. We even throw parties for them. It's who we've always been. And who we always will be. Because no matter who you are, or where you're from, you are always welcome. To go wherever you want to go. And be whoever you want to be. It's not just our philosophy. It's our promise. Because this is San Francisco. We're always open, always inviting, and you're always welcome. Never the same. Always San Francisco.
So, yeah, I think I like this video a lot, and it plays well to so many different audiences. It clearly has features, you know, some of the gay life in San Francisco and gay couples and all sorts of different people, and just really that over resounding, welcoming message. And I think when we look at some of the data for what the preferences are for LGBTQ plus travelers, we often find that it's that welcoming and kind of safe feeling of a destination that's really, really important. So with that being said, we're going to just transition for a second to kind of how people, organizations that want to start doing more marketing and or start from scratch marketing to the LGBTQ plus community, what are some key elements that they need to understand? What are some resources out there? How can they sort of develop a plan and strategy? Luann, do you want to start talking? Do you want to pull up the slide first? Or do we want to start talking about kind of generally about looking at targets, geography, demographics? Like, how can an organization begin to segment and look at this much bigger community than just the gay men?
Well, why don't you go ahead and have the slide up, because there's a lot of information on it, and then it's there as a reference point. The slide is from Community Marketing and Insights. They're a San Francisco-based company, and they have produced LGBTQ plus tourism reports for 20 plus years. So you can go to their website. They have a number of reports that are free to download. They have reports that are specific to the transgender market. They've actually looked at the China market. We're partnering with them on a Pan-Asia study later this year. So it's a great free resource that you can, they update their tourism survey every year. So the 24th annual survey that's shown here was just released in the last month. So this is the most recent data. And so you're seeing here some of the key attributes for selecting a destination. And I think there's a couple of really interesting things to point out about this, because it's very important that the destination is perceived as being LGBTQ friendly. The video is perfect because for San Francisco, because it's saying everyone is welcome, and you're seeing the diversity and you're seeing that everyone is welcome. And you can't feel included if you don't even see yourself. So the average traveler would go to a destination and say, well, you know, of course they want me, I'm a traveler. But for an LGBTQ plus traveler, they're thinking, what's my experience going to be? Will I genuinely feel welcome? So that's a really key element in all of your marketing. And I think it's also really important to point out safety, because safety means a lot of different things for a lot of different people. I mean, in this study, they mentioned low crime rates in particular, but their destination safe is also about feeling safe in terms of the laws and the protections for LGBTQ people there. And that can be even more pronounced when you're talking about the transgender community. And I also wanted to call attention to destination is an LGBTQ hotspot, which is fell in the not so important range to mid-range. And I think that's something that's really important for all of you, because if you're thinking, oh, my attraction, my network, my destination doesn't have a big gay neighborhood, or it doesn't have a lot of gay bars, that doesn't mean that you can't have a successful campaign to welcome LGBTQ plus travelers and benefit from that. Yeah.
And I want to make a note about that. It's also important to make sure that your marketing campaigns are authentic. So a good example, and I can, Naples has been wanting to do more. I live right here in Florida, and one of the groups that's been reaching out to me, one of the DMOs, is the Naples, Marco Island, Paradise Coast. They have a very long travel name. But there's a couple people there, one in particular, who has been a huge ally for the LGBT community there. And she's brought me down a couple times to feature Marco Island, Naples areas as LGBT inclusive. But one of the things that I always do when I'm writing articles about those types of places is, look, this is not historically known as LGBT friendly or inclusive. It's not the first place you think of when you're marketing to the LGBT community. But there's lots of little places that you can find community. And we went down, and my wife and I had a great time, and nobody looked at us funny. And my wife's very non-binary looking, so sometimes she gets looks and bathroom problems. But it was a great experience for us. But you have to be authentic to it. If you're promoting your place as LGBT inclusive, and you know that you might have a community that's maybe more against the community, you don't want to promote something that's not genuine. And I just think anything to add to that, but I think that's important too. Just be authentic about what you provide.
Well, I think.
Set the expectation. Yeah, go ahead.
Can I ask a question? Maybe we visit Savannah. How do we, because I'm sort of enclosed in the CDD mode, if you will, and I would like to think that everybody gets treated equally that comes to my city, but I don't know that. I don't know, and I don't know how to find out what that perception is for my city. You know, and I don't want to be stereotypical. I don't want to, if somebody says, "Are you gay friendly?" Oh yeah, we have a gay bar and a drag show, and you know, I don't want that to be my only answer. So, any ideas as to how do we know what the perception is of our city, if especially in a smaller destination?
Well, I would say a few things. Have the conversations with your local community too.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's locating the community center or the Pride organization or any LGBTQ organization,
okay.
You know, you should be in touch with them and having those conversations because they're the community. So they certainly know how it feels to live in your destination.
I can tell you, have you been to Savannah before?
I've been to Savannah.
I've been
yeah.
to Savannah before, a beautiful area.
I went to a gay
food.
Wedding in Savannah.
Love
there you go.
Right.
Love your marketing
fun.
Material.
Exactly. Love the food and the culture there. And I've been to both the gay bar there, as well, the couple of gay bars there. But I'm usually scouting them out just because of the work I do.
Right.
I think it's doing pulse checks. I don't know if you can do, if there's an opportunity to do a survey of just general community. And maybe that's just one question on a series of different questions you ask, you know, but just generally asking community members, do you feel included here? Do you feel safe? Do you feel like it's a fair statement to say that we're LGBT welcoming? Those kinds of questions. And
starting the conversation with your stakeholders, I mean, talking
yeah.
to the hotels and about this, because people need to hear that it's
right.
on your mind, and it's important, because
and
it's one thing to, you know,
kind of market themselves specifically to
the
gay community, but we're still in the Bible Belt, we're still in the South,
yeah.
and in the past, and we haven't approached this in a few years, when we were asked to create sort of a community-wide campaign, if you will, to approach the LGBT market, there was pushback. You know, do we really want to be known as a gay city? You know, and again, these are the stereotypes that we dealt with. So, you know, it was kind of the decision was made. Well, we'll let the hotels or attractions or whatever push that out on their own, and not as an organization. And you know, I think that probably needs to come back around.
There is just, and then I'm going to up there to you because I need a couple of things to say, but. There's also, does everyone know what, or anyone know what tag certified hotels mean?
Mm-hmm.
So a tag certified hotel is a hotel that has been through a certain certification process, has proper training to be more LGBT inclusive. Several Pride websites will have a list of tag certified hotels on their pages as well, but you could even just kind of assess how many of your hotels locally have that certification, maybe introduce that as an option to some hotels to become...
Tags.
Tag TAG.
Yeah, it's going through a change this
is
year,
it?
Though. Yeah.
Of course.
but actually, IGLTA does have a lot of members that offer diversity.
And members
and
yeah.
Diversity
yeah.
Training.
Yeah, yeah.
There's
diversity
a lot of
training
opportunities.
Yeah, there are. And talking to the hotels about, you know, training their staffs and being prepared.
And
to
a lot of your big box hotels will have been through, like the Marriott's, the Hilton.
Exactly. They have
yeah.
their own internal diversity training
yeah.
programs.
Yeah.
But there's an opportunity for everyone. But I think really also being an ally and just being willing to have those conversations, you know, and sometimes it will be difficult. And then, you know, you said a couple years ago, there was a lot of pushback, but now it's time to have the conversation again, you know, and you just keep bringing it up. Because what sets a destination apart from one that really succeeds in this area and one that doesn't is the one that makes the assumption that, oh yeah, everyone knows we're welcome, we don't need to say anything, we don't need to do anything. But the ones that are actually willing to step forward and say, yes, we welcome everyone, they do get more LGBTQ plus visitors for that reason.
And making sure your DMO or your group is getting involved in the LGBT community too. St. Pete Clearwater does an amazing job at getting involved with all of our Pride events and our big or big LGBT-focused events. So it doesn't come across like they're marketing to the LGBT community to bring dollars in, but they're not actually getting involved in the community, and I think that's an important thing, too. And I know San Francisco, I'm sure, does the same thing where you are.
Yeah, I think that whole destination, like kind of the development and management piece is a whole other topic, which I can definitely chat with you after about. But there is a lot that the destination could do to promote it. Within their destination, actually like developing LGBTQ plus friendly products and experiences. And just, you know, looking at what's important, playing to your strengths. We talked a lot about that for both destinations and for operators to identify what in those destinations will be the strengths and what can be an effective experience or product to promote to the LGBTQ plus community is really important. Did you have a comment over here?
Really quick. On an international level, I had a friend who is transgender, and she went to Egypt, and the experience was, you know, it was terrifying because she's calling me every day. They wouldn't let her and her partner into any of the hotels that they already booked, and they booked through their parties, and it was really scary because we're like here, we don't know what can we do to help this person. Is there a resource for a place that on an international level people can go and access? And I know there is religious overviews on to why they have certain feelings towards those things, but you know, as we're trying to be more inclusive globally, is there a resource or a place that members can go and find that there are safe havens or safe places in these kind of countries?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is about doing your homework, I mean, and knowing before you go, because there are going to be a lot of challenges.
Because there was all of that leading up, you know, the reservations, it's all clear who's staying, and then when they arrived, they weren't let in.
Yeah, I mean, I had the experience in Sri Lanka, where I arrived at a hotel late, and the night manager looked at my fiancé and I and decided that we should have separate beds.
Right.
But there was never a discussion.
Right.
It was just we got to the room and suddenly had separate beds.
Right.
So, there are definitely parts of the world that are less.
Were you guys fighting in the lobby?
I'd been flying for 37 hours. I was not doing it. I just wanted to go to bed. But
and a lot of that information, I hate to like reference like a Google, but there's lots of information out there where if you could like better understanding the laws.
Andy has a cute dog.
Two males, by the way.
You had to go back to the straight guy here.
But going back to that, for example, you know, IGLTA is about an LGBTQ welcoming global network. So if you go to IGLTA.org and go and plan your trip, you can look around and see where we have providers.
Yeah.
We do actually have a new member that is a tour operator for Egypt.
Okay, great.
So sometimes in destinations that are more challenging, we never say don't go because we believe that you should never be limited in exploring the world by your orientation or gender identity. But do your homework in advance. And so if you book with a provider that is...
that was what they were told, like this is LGBT, you know, friendly booking providers. And he was trusting that everything that they were going to do, that they would both be able to, you know, fully enjoy.
Unfortunately, LGBT inclusive doesn't always mean trans inclusive. Like unfortunately, it's just...
So
I would also be careful about outing anybody too, just a general note to anybody. If you know that your traveler is transgender, please make sure that you get permission from that person to share with the person that you're working with over in another country. Because you're worried about their safety, make sure they're safe, but you saying to someone else, hey, my traveler is transgender, could put them at a safety risk too. So just make sure you have all that permission before you get to that point too when you're planning this trip.
There's also another resource that was started through a marketing organization in affiliation with PFLAG in Canada, called Destination Pride. And we're actually going to start incorporating it into the IGLTA website this year. And basically, it's a very simple, easy to read flag, and it documents the different laws, whether as they pertain to marriage or equality for each country. And
okay.
It also shares.
What was that?
It's called Destination Pride.
Okay.
And it also it includes social media sentiment around that destination as well, so you can kind of get a feel for you know how people are talking about a destination, which is also useful if you want to know how people are talking about your own destination.
Well, I think I'm just going to jump ahead. Kind of, this is really relevant for the operators because a lot of operators that want to have more inclusive tours. The work that's cut out is really doing your research, finding out what some of these these organizations are, some of these online organizations, some of these certifications, and then understanding kind of what destinations have to offer that you're selling, and that's all really critical because like customers clearly will have answers and want to know what experiences they're going to be getting into. I wonder if just for a minute we can talk about, since we're kind of on this topic, just some other tips maybe for operators who want to find out more about a destination. And then while we talk about that, destinations then can understand what operators might be looking for if they want to make sure their destination is LGBTQ+ friendly.
Also, ILGA, which is not IGLTA, but is ILGA.org, is another international organization that tracks human rights issues around. And they have really detailed maps. So even beyond, Destination Pride is kind of a simplification of ILGA, but ILGA has a lot more in-depth information that you can look into to really do your homework.
I think like destination websites, perhaps.
I mean, for instance, with a subtle plug here for like outcoast.com, if you're sending people to Florida, the goal with some of our sites like ours, and there are others out there, I'm not the only one, there's sites like mine probably in lots of different states throughout the country, or a lot of times you'll find more local small town versions of it. I'm more of a statewide, but we list all of the LGBT friendly businesses, the hotel, like lots of hotels, bars, clubs. I always list all of the nonprofits. We do that as a complimentary listing for all of the nonprofits in Florida that are LGBT focused. And LGBT nonprofits are also a great resource. If you're heading to St. Pete, for instance, we are one of two LGBT welcome centers in the state of Florida. I think there's one in Miami.
Yeah.
And then there's one here in St. Pete. Or find the large LGBT nonprofit in that area that you're sending people to. I know like your area has a big, Pride Center. I know like here we have Metro Inclusive Health. I just got an email actually as I was heading into here from a woman who is looking to move here. Her kid's transgender. They're coming down for a few days. They want some activities to do that are inclusive for trans teens. And so I immediately sent them already like a PFLAG or a Metro Inclusive Health for more resources because they do a lot of trans stuff. So anywhere you're sending people, look for the local nonprofits, look for the local platforms like mine that can be great resources and information. And they're most likely gonna know a little bit more about the area and whether it's an accepting area in general, or if they're just kind of having a niche area in that community community within the pocket within the area.
Yeah, and actually through IGLTA as well, you can find our media members, mm-hmm. and that's another resource, like Outcoast is a media member of IGLTA. So, I mean, you can find both regional and national, global media outlets that are covering, LGBTQ+ travel, and so you can also get a sense of what's trending in that way and what's going on around the world.
Well, I know that it's becoming a bit more of a crowded space and more competitive as a lot more destinations and tour operators, organizations, suppliers realize that kind of are in touch with what the value of this community is. So let's talk a little bit about what makes some content kind of outstanding, what makes it really effective. We have a couple videos we could pull up when we're ready. But I think let's start on, we've spoken about a few different groups, but kind of how do we move on and avoid falling in the trap of stereotypes? How do we steer clear of that? How do we kind of get beyond the rainbow flag? I know we talked a little bit about not being kind of too perfect and thinking about nuances. What are some other considerations for making really great content?
Do you start there?
So and let me know when you want me to play the video.
Yeah, why don't we play the Vegas video first?
Sure. So why don't you introduce it, because we're starting it from about halfway.
Are we? Okay. So did anyone see the Vegas video that was done about the two lesbians that got married? How many of you, let me ask it this way, how many of you did not see it? Okay, good. Just want to make sure it's relevant. Okay, so basically this video was set up where this lesbian couple was going to Vegas to get married because there were some family issues at home with supportive parents, and they thought it would be just a safer place to just go and do their thing and elope and not have a big family wedding. So I'll let it continue from there.
I don't see the world the way we do.
That's not.
Well, how do you know that? You never asked. I don't have to ask, I know that. Well, if you never ask, then you can't know. We're going to be together forever. You just met me. Trust me, I know these things. It's a gift. We'll see.
But obviously the whole wedding theme here, but it just, it touches on so many different emotions, and it really pulls you in. It was a brilliant marketing ad for Vegas. It went viral. Many of you probably saw it. I'm trying to think where I was going with this. But as far as content, there wasn't naked gay men promoting Vegas in here. It was a lesbian couple, a beautiful lesbian couple, experiencing something that we all want to experience in our lives, or Some of us don't want to get married. That's fine, too. I've been married 3 times. That's a different story for another day. But the culture's changing. You know, you have families. You have kids. Can I pull up my site? Do you mind if I...
Yeah.
Just to show you a couple of... Did you want to say something you were going to...
Well, I was just going to say, and maybe we can talk about this a little more after your slide, but...
Yeah.
But just the notion that, of course, you know, we all know that Vegas CBA has a budget that's higher than most of the CBAs.
Yeah.
So, I'm throwing that out there. So we're also going to talk a little more about you can create these experiences without having the Vegas marketing budget.
So here with, on Outcoast, for instance, it's not full of rainbows. Now, I will tell you, and Loanne will mention this as far as like the international market. Sometimes the international market is looking for rainbows. When they're looking for LGBT inclusive, that's just a big international sign for being inclusive. I went a little away from that because I just wanted to feature Florida. The water up top, the sunsets, we're known for our sunsets over here. And then if you scroll down, we have 3 main pictures. In Outcoast, we focus on promoting this area as a place to visit, celebrate, and live. So we do focus a lot on travel, hence the new branding of Gay Florida Travel versus just generic. But we wanted to feature a couple here. You can't really tell what their demographic, their culture is, but it's 2 gay men in the sunset. You have a wedding couple on the beach, which is a really popular thing in Florida. And then you have someone living and just enjoying life right here in Florida. And we wanted to make sure we were being more trans inclusive and really highlight that community as well. ours is very content heavy, so when we talk about the kind of content, I do a mix of editorial, which just talks about lots of different things that'll get people featuring in Florida, but also working with doing advertorial, where I'm working with marketing partners specifically for Florida. This was a little bit more on the LGBT focus, but right here, there's an article that says how and where to throw the ultimate gay pool party. You don't have to go so super gay with your marketing. This is a gay platform, so just keep that in mind. But doing some pride content. You know, what's coming up this year with Pride? Are you focused on making sure that events are on your DMO site that feature some of the big Pride celebrations? We did one on, this was the one I was talking about with Exploring Naples, where again, it's not a very LGBT focused destination, but we started it by saying, look, it's historically not known as an LGBT place, but highlighting more of that. That was me. My wife is the one in the middle there, and then Michelle is the down in Naples that promotes it. She's a huge ally, but still things where to stay, what to do, what to eat, lots of pictures. We love our pictures, we love our food, we love our culture, our arts. And then we did a little shout out to the LGBT nightlife and dining out, where to go and enjoy that. So your location doesn't have to be, we do all this gay stuff. It's just, we want to eat at the same restaurants that you all eat at. We want to see the same beaches. They don't have to be, I personally don't want to go to a beach where there's a bunch of naked gay men. It doesn't appeal to me at all. So where are the beaches that I can just enjoy a beautiful sunset? And then the one article I wanted to point out was, let me look here, one of our marketing partners is the Bilmar, I'm not used to a PC.
No judgment, though.
So one of our marketing partners is the Bilmar Hotel, a resort right up in Treasure Island. So some of the stuff that we do for them is just highlighting their business, their hotel on our platform. Nothing about LGBT community, just, hey, shout out for award one. We did do a couple articles for them where it's LGBT event venue spotlight, the Bilmar Resort, highlighting their wedding space, their event space, conference space. They also like to recruit a lot for like reunion events, college reunions or any kind of reunion. And then this was the article that we were trying to be more creative with the Bilmar because they're a family resort. They like to focus on families, which doesn't always align with LGBT stereotypically. So I had a few friends in Pennsylvania that I said, hey, come stay at the Bilmar and then let's talk about your experience. Fortunately, they had an amazing experience. There was lots to talk about, but it wasn't just about their LGBT experience. It was, did you feel welcome? Did you have a fun time? Did your kids enjoy themselves? So we included lots of pictures of, you know, the kids on the beach playing just like any straight couple would enjoy the same experience. So when you think of content, you don't have to think so LGBT focused, but reaching out to some of your local platforms on how they can help you spread the word out further would be a suggestion as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think, so we were talking about, you know, budgets, and obviously a great production, but a lot of the things you just saw on the screen don't necessarily have to be high budget, high cost items. You can work with a local photographer, you can work with other people in your local community to source really great images. You don't need to spend a lot of money. I also know that like working with kind of networks of influencers and other local content creators is really important. Loanne, I wonder if you can talk a little bit about that, or if you have anything more to add before that, but just talk about kind of what the opportunity for working with influencers is and why they can be such a great resource for us.
Well, Rachel used the key buzzword earlier about being authentic. And it's just about engaging real people in these campaigns and making sure that it's coming from a voice that is going to resonate with other travelers. So I know the influencer debate is going around and the value of them. And they're just not all created equal. I mean,
right.
Yes, there are a million influencers out there who are looking for free trips, and they're kind of annoying. But there's also really great influencers that we work with that are professional, and they generate great content, and they deliver on what the agreement is. So you just need to, again, do your homework into research and finding the ones that align most with your brand. But
does IGLTA have certified influencers that you may know?
Well, I wouldn't
know,
say, I mean, I wouldn't use the word certified,
okay.
But I mean, we do.
Preferred?
Because I work specifically in communication, so mm-hmm. myself and then our consumer marketing manager run our influencer program. So the way that IGLTA uses influencers, for example, is that we've just this week launched a new series of country guides. We have about 26 destinations that have just gone live, and we'll continue to add to those. The content was created by influencers who have been on the ground in those countries, and it includes a mix of the practical, the, you know, when to go and attractions and things like that, major cities. We didn't get super granular because there's plenty of resources for that, and you have to update them too much. This is just high level, and there's a section on safety as well. And we used influencers to create those guides. We did pay them to create those guides. You know, we didn't expect them to do this for free. We also use influencers a lot to source authentic photos because we're in particular looking for images from around the world. And so it's great to have a photo shoot and hire a photographer and do that, but to then generate content from all over the world is complicated. Yeah. So we really use our influencer network to get those kind of global images.
Well, I think we were talking earlier about understanding some of the nuances and preferences of the LGBTQ plus community and using that research for marketing purposes. You have to kind of fuse that when you're trying to market to certain international audiences, right? With those cultural norms, with the local, you know, their local preferences and understanding and kind of putting those two together, because that sample size we were looking at was mostly from the U.S., but I think influencers for us at SF Travel, we're doing a project that we're working with influencers from certain countries and kind of giving them the freedom to come and present and decide what kind of content they really want to create because they know best, right? They bring those local and cultural norms to the project, and we found that when we tried to steer them too much and, you know, really tried to say, you know, you should visit this partner, this restaurant to align with, you know, our own membership database, or if you're a tour company, you know, thinking about suppliers you already work with, I think there's going to be a lot of lost opportunity there. So really giving them the license to kind of drive that content is really, really helpful to kind of put together all those different considerations.
And that's a great point, too. I mean, even when I went down to Naples to kind of explore the area, and there was an agenda set for us. And the only problem with that is we were, you know, they wanted us to see the gay bar that they had, or the other, you know, restaurants that they had. And it was an awesome area, but as a couple who I enjoy cultural experiences, the beach, my wife loves to fish and do more of those things and likes the seafood space, it would be great to have the opportunity to explore the things that we like in those areas so that when we write that article, it's authentic and hey, these are the places we would recommend, whether you're LGBT or not, but also know that there's a gay club here, there's a LGBT place here, that if you're looking more for that LGBT nightlife, like we did in the article for Naples, as we highlighted that, but we didn't make that the whole part of the article because it would have sounded too forced,
right.
And not as authentic.
That's a challenge, too, because I work with a lot of media to coordinate press fans for the LGBTQ reader to destinations. And I understand with CVBs, I feel your pain because I know you have stakeholders that you have to answer to. It's like, oh, we're running a press fam, so we have to take you to this place and this place and this place. But when you're looking at the LGBTQ travel writers and influencers coming in, you do really have to think about that, because if there's a restaurant that has a lesbian chef and you can put that into the mix, it has so much more relevance than a press trip where they insisted on going to the Hard Rock Cafe and I
or Hooters. actually that is true, and we do highlight that, and I think that's important. There's a restaurant right here in St. Pete called The Library. It's awesome. It's right by the Children's Hospital, and the chef is a very out and proud lesbian woman, and she's an incredible chef. And we have highlighted. We did one article series for here in Florida where we were highlighting the local LGBT chefs, but that is something fun to highlight and giving kudos to those types of people that are out and open and doing some amazing work.
Supporting the people in your
absolutely.
Community that are LGBTQ plus again goes a long way. And yes, Savannah.
Question: as a DMO, you know, a lot of what we've been talking about is kind of that outreach to your overall leisure traveler community, but if we wanted to connect with tour operators, especially international tour operators that specialize in LGBTQ travel. I know some of them, Tom's on tour, and a few of those that we kind of regularly run into, but is there any kind of source, any kind of area that we can go to and find out who some of these top...
I wish IGLTA.
I wonder.
Global buyers and suppliers.
Become a member of IGLTA.
Gosh. Oh, yeah.
Did she give you that question?
It's called IGLTA.
Okay.
No,
so
but
we're all
but, no, no, but it is a B2B network
right.
within the association. So, and one of the things that we do is we host an annual global convention.
It's amazing.
I didn't pay her to say that. Yeah, it's in Milan this year, so you know, good luck getting that into your last minute travel budget. But I can give you a heads up that 2021 is in Atlanta, which will be a lot easier for a lot of you,
so you
like Savannah.
And so she's not doing the shameless plug by herself. So I've been to the IGLTA conference for the last 3 years in a different role, but I've been to the conference. It was in St. Pete in 2017. And they alternate between U.S. and outside of U.S., international.
North America and then two outside North America.
I've done St. Pete,
Toronto.
Canada, Toronto, and New York, and then Abi in Milan as well. But it's one of the coolest conferences in the world. It's an amazing experience to see so many people from so many different countries around the world that you don't know that the laws are different in every country that's represented there. And for all of us to be together in one space, it's the most magical type of conference for me. So if you haven't, you don't have to be LGBT to come, so I highly recommend coming to it to experience it.
Everyone welcome.
Yeah. Everyone is welcome. Yeah, it's a really cool conference, and the events that they do are
And the Dita
awesome.
Ortiz being there was
what?
Dita. There was celebrities at the New York one. The entertainment was amazing.
Oh,
it was always good.
Yeah. In Toronto, we had the Queer Vote cast there. That was really cool.
Yeah, but to your point, the first day of the convention is a buyer supplier marketplace, and so
much
that's
like
a,
yesterday. Yeah.
And so that's an opportunity to have direct appointments with travel advisors and tour operators that are selling LGBTQ travel globally.
Okay, we
coming back around to the actual question. Yes,
when we talk about authenticity and things like that, and identifying areas and marketing, we say, you know, it's great to say the LGBTQ plus market. But, like, if you're in southern Arizona, it's more likely lesbians are going to go to Scottsdale and gay men are going to go to Phoenix.
It's like,
they don't mix.
That's like
saying
like
the populations don't mix. How do you all balance that messaging when you're really trying to target the entire market as LGBT friendly, but there's obviously areas of certain cities that it's not?
Right.
Right.
Again, I think with the match, we talked about matching the experience and the expectations with, you know, what we're marketing. So I think not trying to give a mixed message, like, you know, this is a this part of town is for everyone or something like that. Trying to highlight what your features are in the destination, and then some things, I mean, maybe you can't change, and that's what it is. But I think that overall kind of welcome message will go a long way to just attracting those travelers in general.
I'll give you a perfect example. I cover all of Florida, so. I might do an article for Gulfport, Florida, which, if you haven't been, is the coolest, quirkiest little fun town. It's mostly lesbians, older lesbians. If I put a bunch of gay, like you know, gay men in bathing suits in Gulfport to take a picture, that's not authentic because the lesbians don't want them there. I mean, no offense to the gay boys, but they don't want them there. It's a lesbian town. If I go over to Fort Lauderdale area to Wilton Manors, I went over there recently. I sat at the bar and had a drink. I was the only female in that bar. It's mostly gay men. And in one bar I went into, I got like the look like, why are you? Not that it's not inclusive, and I didn't make myself included. But again, I wouldn't stick a bunch of older lesbian women in Wilton Manors to promote Wilton Manors. So I think you just have to be authentic with the people you're really representing. And I mean, yeah, there's some stereotypes in that, but there's stereotypes for a reason sometimes. So, you know,
I mean,
making sure you're representing it.
It is about knowing your destination.
Yeah.
So there's the big picture, and then there's the more granular. So obviously, if you're doing overall destination marketing, you want to focus on all-inclusive. But if you have an opportunity to develop a market further that you've already identified and you see is strong, then, yeah, absolutely, then go after that specifically. And don't try and play it as LGBTQ+. Play it as, hey, the lesbians are digging Scottsdale, and, you know.
Okay.
And I, like,
everyone should come.
Yeah. And I know, for instance, like Fort Lauderdale does an amazing job at marketing to the transgender community. So that's a great area to promote for trans inclusion and visiting that area. And so knowing your destination, getting out there, like we said before to Savannah, I don't know your first name, so I'm saying
Mindy.
Savannah.
Mindy.
just like I said, get to know your community. Ask them which areas kind of market to which, you know, what makes sense to market to in each area.
Other questions? Maybe like 5 more minutes. So,
is there certain things we have to look out that completely are like red flags for the LGBTQ plus community?
Don't put an LGBT ad together with Chick-fil-A.
I'm talking.
Yeah. Oh,
chicken. I know that. Yeah. I get it.
You know, but it is. I mean, being aware of homophobic associations, and that is a really good point.
Yeah.
That's a really extreme one, but still, there can be more subtle ones too. So
yeah.
You know, being
especially
aware
with social media, you don't want like someone to go on, you know, with the assumption that you're going to have one experience and then have something completely different in a very negative way, because it then could be broadcasted out, and you know.
And please understand that the LGBTQI, you know, the whole community, it changes day to day. We even recognize from an LGBT perspective that the letters change, the culture changes, the identifiers change, non-binary terms are coming out more and more. So we understand that it changes, but just in general, be aware of some of those societal norms as you're advertising. You know, a lot of people put like a half female, half male logo on a bathroom door to make something more inclusive, and in some ways it offends the community. So just knowing what those little things, the kind of the cultural norms, and again, go to your nonprofit organizations and ask some of those questions is a good way to kind of learn more about the community. But yeah, do be careful with advertising, because you might promote some place alongside and you're like, they say they are, and they might not be as educated as they're promoting.
Okay. Questions?
I wanted to ask about the difference between a private sector approach, even if it might be in a community or a state where the politicians are vocal in a very hostile way. So I'm happy to hear that you said people will go anywhere, and there may be, I'm thinking of a place where I live in Mississippi. Some of the same companies that are in Las Vegas are in the same place. I think they're very open and welcoming. But if you look at some of the political rhetoric, you probably want to run away. So how big of a role does what is happening politically discourage people from coming to a place, even if there's a thriving community? And
didn't we just talk about this?
We were.
Like, I bet this comes up in this conversation.
We tried to avoid that.
No, we didn't want to cover everything. From a global perspective, it's really interesting because we talk about this a lot because of places like Egypt, because of what happened with the Sultan of Brunei. I mean, we talk about the really extreme cases, and we forget sometimes that political shifts, you know, in the United States can have a similar effect. The reality is, homophobic rhetoric from governments will always deter some travelers. But we will never say boycott a destination. We will never say don't go. So everything that we do within our network is about helping people to have the travel experiences they want to have in the most safe and welcoming way possible. So it's about, you know, engaging with our association, engaging with the buyers and suppliers within the network, and building that safe network so that travelers know they have a place to go, so they don't have to miss out on your destination. But if you've got, for example, you know, Brazil is a perfect example, because they were doing so much work as a tourism destination in the LGBTQ plus space, and their government changed, and the message was really awful. And it has impacted LGBT. I mean, I've talked to, just this morning, to a small lesbian tour operator in Brazil, and she said they had a bad year. I mean, so it will hurt, but it's not the end of the world.
And I think as far as like inbound, you know, we do have a very, we're not going to, you know, sugarcoat that we have a very divided country here, and different parts are different, you know, it's a very, it's not so blended purple anymore. It's very red and blue around the country. I lived in Philadelphia, which was extremely LGBT friendly, and then Pittsburgh is also LGBT friendly, but the drive from Philly to Pittsburgh is not so LGBT friendly.
And I think it goes back to when you do your marketing, if you're marketing Philly and you're putting together video or photos, show a Pride Fest, show a trans, they do a trans Pride as well, so does St. Pete. Show those things in your images and your pictures along with couples of LGBT people. I wouldn't put those Pride Festival images in a very rural area that doesn't have a Pride Fest. Don't put images in that don't belong, but it doesn't mean you can't show an LGBT couple enjoying a beautiful drive through rural Pennsylvania or, you know, those kinds of places.
I think the really important message is that we need allies everywhere, and nothing changes if we don't have people in all of those communities like trying to make inroads and being willing to have the conversations. We have a tour operator who's gay in Uganda, and talk about a challenge, you know? But there are plenty of LGBTQ people who want to have the experience of a mountain gorilla safari in their lifetime. And if you look at the destinations where those are, Uganda and Rwanda, there's...
We also have Jody, too. There's a group called Wild Rainbow African Safari. I've been working with her a little bit on marketing, but she's very out lesbian, and she does African tours.
She goes all over Africa.
She goes all over Africa, primarily South Africa, but we'll go all over. And the laws are very different. You know, South Africa is much more inclusive, but other parts of Africa aren't. So just knowing... connecting with people in different areas of the country, like our own country too, inbound, just finding
the right tour operators that you can work with, and
quick
but
one?
you don't have to feel isolated. Basically, is the message. Because you feel like your government is not the most supportive.
One last quick question, because I don't want to get in the way of lunch, because then this will ruin the whole thing.
It's a quick one, but can you guys touch on? A little less about the DMOs and the actual destinations, and from an attraction point of view, that's where a few of us work from. And I've always been curious about how to bring in more LGBT guests. So I totally get the marketing, the actual destination, but on a more granular level, do you guys have any?
Where are you at?
I'm in New York, but we have 23 different locations in North America and three in London. So, and I know that we are extremely, I work for Hornblower Cruises and Events,
that's
which
what
is,
I was wondering,
yes, and which is in San Francisco.
Okay.
So obviously we are very, very inclusive and have done a lot. We were partners with NYC and Company for World Pride this year and things like that. But, less on a pride thing or whatever, but just much more on a day-to-day. If you guys have any kind of suggestions or marketing or anything like that
on a
granular level.
I think part of it goes back to the conversation we've been having, just, you know, the images you're using, the marketing you're using in that side. Influencers are always a good option for
definitely.
That, too.
Yeah.
You
want to talk to you.
Yeah, having influencers come out and experience the cruises and promote how amazing they were.
I definitely
think marketing images, you know, I want to... When I see an ad on TV, well, I'm walking, my wife could care less. She's a little not as much involved in the LGBT community. She's out with the fishermen. but totally different world. But when I'm watching TV, I want to see, is there a lesbian couple on that cruise holding hands or enjoying candlelight dinner as part of an experience? And right along next to the straight couple that's there, too. You know, so just little subtle. Like Loanne says, it doesn't have to be a big gay ad. We just want to be seen. We want to make sure that we're part of the picture.
Doesn't that have something to do with the delivery on site? I mean, like, I was at a restaurant recently, and there was a gay couple sitting next to us that was friends of ours, and the waiter came up and said, oh, it's so good to see a son and father out on a, you know, an evening dinner. And immediately the assumption was they were fathers, but they were actually a couple.
And that's
and
a
so
good
you
point,
you can turn
too.
People off really fast by your frontline people.
Yeah.
Just
like
you checking
that.
In and assuming you needed two beds.
Yeah.
Well, that's why diversity training is really important.
Yeah. Do you do diversity? Do you have diversity training within your organization as well for
we
LGBT?
Do.
And that's important too. Just making sure. I mean, usually you're probably knowing ahead of time who's coming in for cruises and have an idea, or if they're celebrating an anniversary, they may have already told you or whatever it might be. But just making sure the staff is trained, and then employees are your best marketing tool too. So if you're employing diverse people, LGBT people, and they're comfortable promoting your company as LGBT inclusive, then you're going to find naturally you're going to start getting more LGBT people attending the cruises.
But I have two answers. One is the shameless plug, which is that IGLTA members can promote their events, tours, and specials through the website as well, which is part of the membership. And then we push those out through our consumer newsletter channel. So that's just something that we do in our association. But also, there's a huge fixation on Pride. And that becomes the one time a year when every business organization network.
Yeah, and that's what I'm trying to get away from.
Right.
Yeah.
But there are so many thousands of LGBTQ events throughout the year, or there's an opportunity to create one. It could be a business, like a professional mixer for the LGBTQ community, things like that within your space. It showcases your attraction and it provides a networking opportunity, and then it associates you in the minds of the community with
being
welcoming.
Pride to me is equal to like a homeless toy drive during the holidays. Like, it's the one time a year you give charity. Well, no, it's all year long people are in need, just like all year long LGBT people want to be included with where they're going and traveling. So it's not just Pride.
And we have found, we did a big study with the ETC, the European Tourism Commission, and it was looking at five different markets inbound to Europe. And one of the big things that came out of that study was not just Prides, but all kinds of LGBTQ events were big drivers for the tourism market. Because when you think about all the countries where it's not comfortable to be out, you have great opportunities to provide them with opportunities to be out and feel good.
Bottom line, check out IGLTA.
or talk to us after. I think I'm obviously we'll be at lunch. Will you guys be?
We'll be at lunch.
Okay, so we'll all be at lunch. So
please feel free to
thank you guys so much. Really, thank you for your interaction.